Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Of course, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, five-star reviews, tell a friend, tell your mom, do anything you can. We always appreciate it, but thank you, most importantly, for being here. Today, we're going to go over some myths, some facts, some inaccuracies of all the hot takes that are going on this week regarding the Packers. So we'll get there in just a moment. Before I do, have to tell you about Autograph. I am so excited about this new app. It has made my life as a Packers fan so much easier. I can go on the Autograph app every single day and get everything I need. All of your favorite podcasts, including the Pack-A-Day Podcast, of course. And you can get all your favorite articles from all your favorite Packers writers. There is a Packers community there. You can get tickets there. It is everything all in one place. And you get exclusive content from me. I just did a recent episode on Autograph for Autograph members, not members, just Autograph app owners only, I guess you would say. And it is breaking down what we can expect from Malik Willis. Who is he? How did he get to this team? And again, sort of what Green Bay can do with him at quarterback this weekend, if that does end up being the case. So make sure to check out the Autograph app. You will not be disappointed in it. I know I am not, and I cannot recommend it enough. Meanwhile, thank you to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Luke Floyd, Ben Swanson, 20 Foot Python, Justin Garvey, J. Cole, Dragon Scale WOT, Joe, and Bryce Daniel. Appreciate you guys a ton for signing up. Hope you are enjoying all the extra content. Awesome stuff this week. Ross Uglum had extra content out there. Me and Aaron Nagler did an episode together. So make sure to check out that members only content. Of course, you get the members only Q&A as well, which is worth it in and of itself. Now, we need to also get to the injury update from Friday. Some pretty significant news from both the Colts and the Packers. Let's start with the Packers side of things. Marshawn Lloyd is questionable. He was a limited participant in Friday's practice. Jaden Reed was added to the injury report with a calf and shin injury. He is listed as questionable. He did participate in practice, a limited participant, albeit, but he did participate. Hopefully that is a good sign, similar to Tucker Kraft a week ago where he had the back injury but was limited, did not make him, you know, stop practicing, and he was able to go in the game. Hopefully the same is true for Jaden Reed. And then Jordan Love. Where is your hope? Where are you at on the, gamesmanship meter? He is listed as questionable. I'll be honest, I would have bet probably a decent amount of money that he would have been listed as doubtful for this game. I still think that this is Malik Willis. He is still not cleared. He did not practice on Friday. That is usually a pretty good tell. I think they will be extremely cautious with their franchise quarterback, but questionable is quite the designation, and it might be doing a lot of work here, but if we're giving the Packers some level of credit, which we don't necessarily need to, teams lie all the time. If he is a 25% chance or less of playing in this game, he should be listed as doubtful. And there's no way to prove that. So far be it for me. I'm not judging here. If I were the Packers and I thought there was a 1% chance he could play, I'm not exactly sure that I would list him as anything other than questionable either. But it is still interesting that, you know, league mandated should be that if he's not expected to play, he should either be listed as out or doubtful. Questionable is 50%, you know, in its truest sense. I don't know. I would be stunned still if he goes this weekend. I'm expecting a Malik Willis start. I'm expecting Sean Clifford to be the backup. I'm expecting Jordan Love to be completely inactive. But we've seen crazier things before. He's going to have to get cleared from an injury status. And this is a huge and, they're going to have to feel comfortable that he has no risk of re-aggravating or making the injury worse, or they will not put him out there. I talked about this the other day. If there is any risk of that, any legitimate risk of that, there's always risk when you step out on a football field, I get that. But if there's any legitimate risk that this could get aggravated or made worse in any way, you had just made him the highest paid quarterback in football up until, you know, Dak Prescott just beat that out by a little bit. But you had just made him the highest paid player in all of football. And he just signed his contract. this little sliver of time, whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, is a sliver of his future career in the NFL. You will take the long term for Jordan over one or two games here every single time. So I'm telling you, I would be pretty stunned if he goes this week, but questionable is quite the designation. I have a modicum of hope, just a small amount of hope that maybe he could still go, but I would expect Malik Willis. You can choose your own adventure and go in any direction that you want. And if you want to hold out that hope that he is still going to play, hey, it's right there, questionable. And the questionable might be doing a lot of heavy lifting here, but it is what it is. And we will see an hour and a half before the game. Now, we might get a Schefter or a Rappaport tweet ahead of the game. You know, sometimes there's usually like a 2 a.m. barrage of injury updates. I'm not exactly sure how that works or why it works that way, but maybe we get one that Jordan Love is not expected to play, or maybe we get a game time decision. Who knows? But right now, he is questionable, but I still expect Malik Willis. From a Colts standpoint, Julian Blackmon is out. We had a great conversation yesterday with Paul Breddle. This is a key piece of their secondary. I still, by the way, cannot believe Julian Blackmon did not get a bigger contract from some team in free agency, but that's another story for another day. Either way, he's back in Indy, but he will not be playing in Green Bay this weekend. That is a big loss for a secondary that is ridiculously thin. Malik Willis, how much can he potentially take advantage of that secondary if he is in fact the quarterback? I don't know, but I'll say this. I would much rather have him going a quarterback that maybe doesn't know the offense super well and has been somebody that has struggled to get rid of the ball on time. I'd much rather have him going against a bad secondary than a good secondary. So maybe there's some hope there as well. Matt Gay, their kicker, is in. He's going to be good to go. Meanwhile, Josh Downs, DeForest Buckner, and Kwity Paye are all questionable. Kwity Paye did practice. Josh Downs did practice. DeForest Buckner did not practice, although the coach did say that they are optimistic that both Downs and Buckner would be able to play. Didn't really say anything on Kwity Paye, but again, he did practice on Friday. I would expect Downs, Buckner, and Paye to play. Buckner never misses games. If he's out, that would be a massive loss. Again, Matt Gay is in, and then Julian Blackmon will be probably the key player that is out for them. But again, hour and a half prior to kickoff, we will get those inactives, and both the Packers and the Colts will have key ones to keep an eye on, specifically Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, and DeForest Buckner, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, Kwity Paye. And that brings us to our main conversation today. A lot of hot takes that are out there following 1 week, good or bad, right? You know, Adrian Cooper is going to be the next big thing at linebacker. Everyone else that struggled is going to completely suck and they're a waste of space and everything. I know those are extremes and things like that, but let's go through it. Let's go what we actually know and what is truth, what is fact, and what is fiction. All right. So we're going to go through 12 boldish statements today. And I'll make, you know, we'll try to do our best to see if they are actually true or false. And we'll start with number one, Jair Alexander is done being a number one cornerback and an all-pro caliber player. And my response to this is fiction, false, whatever you want to define it as. I'm not saying that if it were the other way around, that if you said Jair Alexander is still a number one corner and an all-pro caliber player, I don't think I would have stated that as true, but I am also not ready to give up on Jair Alexander as a true number one corner, as somebody who can be the player that we all want and expect him to be, and somebody that could sort of engage himself in that all-pro caliber conversation. If there's anyone that maybe it would have said true to this, that he's done being a number one corner and an all-pro player, it might have been me. These were my grades for him year by year. Plus 7.0, plus 8.95, plus 13.55, plus 2.90 in just five games that year. So 2.90 in just five games, very, very good grade. He would have trended probably towards his first or second best season in 2020. I think that was 2020. And then plus 0.8, -1, -0.75 so far this year. All right. After that shoulder injury, which he actually graded in the negative, very slight negative in that game where he came back against San Fran in 2021, then only a plus 0.8 in 2022, by far and away the lowest grade of his entire career, then followed it up in 2023 with a negative grade, and so far is at a negative grade this year. I mean, you look at it, basically ever since he has come back from that injury in 2021, he has a negative 1.0 grade. After having plus 7, plus 8.95, plus 13.55, and on his way to a really great start of the year in 2021. It has been a pretty night and day difference from somebody who was consistently one of the best players on the team to somebody who's been right around average to slightly below average. So if there's anyone, and I'm going in watching every single play for Jair and everyone else on the team. And I've been saying, hey, this isn't the same guy. The tackling's not the same. The intensity's not the same. We had the suspension last year. I'll be honest. Come suspension last year, I was ready to be sort of all the way out on Jair. Just being like, this is like, it's just not what it's going to be. It's not what it needs to be. And I just thought it was trending in a very, very bad direction. However, I really did appreciate the way that Jair bounced back after the suspension last year. I thought he was fantastic in training camp. Now, that's not the be-all end-all. You have to carry that into the season. I'm well aware of that. But everything that I saw in training camp led me to believe that he was back and could play at a very high level. Maybe not first team all pro, maybe not even second team all pro, but maybe in that Pro Bowl conversation, or at least as a really good number one corner. And we didn't see enough consistency. The big play he gave up to AJ Brown is inexcusable for a player of his caliber, but we did see some really big plays from Jair Alexander in this game as well. So am I willing to say that he cannot play at that level? And the one other thing I'll add here is, listen, I don't care who you are, one-on-one against AJ Brown for the vast majority of the game, that is a tough assignment. That is a very tough assignment. He needed to be better. I'm not making excuses here, but he needed to be better. But that's a tough assignment. I still have some hope right now. I know hope is doing a lot of heavy lifting today in this episode. I still have hope that he can be that guy for this team, in this defense, in Jeff Hafley's scheme, and play better than what he did last year, even the year before, and maybe get back to those days where he was really considered one of the better cover corners in the league. And that brings us to number two on the list. True or false, Jair Alexander needs to step up and be the player that the Packers expect. And that is 1,000,000% true. He has not been there. He has not been that guy for them in 2022, in 2023, and now so far, just in one game, small sample size, in 2024. They're making him one of the highest paid corners in football. They are entrusting him to be the guy that's going with the opposing team's number one wide receiver. They are expecting him to be one of the better corners in the game and one of the true stars on this team, not just on this defense, on this team. It is time for Jair Alexander to match the intensity of his mouth with his play on the field. Because there's a lot of talking, there hasn't been a ton of backing it up. And I know that people maybe want to say, hey, it's time for Jair just to shut up and play. I don't want Jair to shut up and play. I want Jair to be Jair. Jair is at his best when he is feeling confident, when he has all that swagger, when he is you know, running his mouth a little bit. That's Jair. You get the total package. Like that's who you get. If you sort of try to cut that out, I don't think that is going to be a positive path for Jair. So I want him to be that level of confident. I want him to be that level of cocky, but I want to see him back it up. That's the big thing. So the first one, just kind of going back to it, do I think he is done? He can't be an all-pro corner, can't be a number one corner this league, anything like that? No, I think there is still an avenue for him to be that. But number two, do I think he needs to step up and play better and be that guy and show us that he can back up what he is saying? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think it needs to be a lot better. I think it can be a lot better. There's a lot on Jair right now. I think this is a opportunity for him. There's no AJ Brown in this game. They have good receivers. Josh Allen's probably coming back. Pittman is a very good wide receiver. Adonai Mitchell, their young rookie. Alec Pierce is somebody that I really liked coming out of the draft, had the big touchdown last week. They have good wide receivers, but we're not talking Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, you know, whoever, you know, top wide receivers that you want to put Tyreek Hill, etc. There's not that type of player in this game. Whoever Jair is matched upon, he has to be able to win that battle. He has to be able to cover that guy one-on-one. If you would say, you know, do you feel comfortable with Jair on Michael Pittman? I would say yes. Josh Downs, yes. Adonai Mitchell, yes. Alec Pierce, yes. He has to be able to win that. And it starts this week. Let's get that trending in the right direction. Let's get those positive grades starting to pile up. Let's get those impact plays. He doesn't need to be Darrell Revis in his prime, Deion Sanders in his prime. He doesn't need to be corner one in the NFL, but he needs to be better than what he's been so far. So just to kind of repeat it one more time, is he done being a number one corner? I don't think so. It's false to me. But does he need to step up and play better? True to me, absolutely. And I think we start seeing it this week against the Colts. Week one is officially in the books, and while it didn't maybe go the way many of us were hoping, it was still great to have football back in our lives. Now, we're on to week two, and there is still plenty of winning to be done, especially with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this deal on Prize Picks. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again in week two, but I have an oddly confident feeling about Malik Willis as well, especially when it comes to rushing yards. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me, and this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number three, fact or fiction, Edgerrin Cooper needs more playing time. That is an unquestioned fact. I don't know that he needs to be 60 snaps this week and just say, rip the Band-Aid, he's going to be the guy. And, you know, let's just see what he can do. We saw last week, we heard from Matt LaFleur, play one on the field, completely misaligned on the Saquon Barkley touchdown, which led to the touchdown. That's not ideal. So that needs to get cleaned up and be better, and throwing 60 snaps on his plate right now is probably not the right move for him. But we did hear that Matt said that he needs to play more, that they expect him to play more, and I think he will play more, and that is the right move. There will be some, you know, some maybe consequences slash issues along the way to playing a rookie linebacker that is still inexperienced, that needs more playing time and more reps. This is the growing phase. That you take the good with the bad right now, because we saw in a very limited amount of snaps, the good was really good. Coverage looked good. Athleticism looked off the charts. Run stopping looked good. It all looked very good in a very small sample size. So let's get him up to speed. Let's continue to increase those snaps. Let's let him go and make some of those mistakes. Failure is your friend sometimes, because it will teach you a lesson like no other. So hopefully he learned that mistake from misaligning and won't make that again. And now, if you have those little lessons, and not all of them are going to be catastrophic. There could have been a million different ways where he lined up on that play and it didn't even matter. Unfortunately, on that play, it did. And it ended up resulting in a touchdown. But sometimes you make a mistake, and I take Randall Cobb, right? If you remember Randall Cobb first game where he ran the wrong route and scored a touchdown as a rookie, I think it was his first game against the Saints. And they said after the game, he ran the wrong route. And those mistakes happen for rookies all the time. It could have easily been that he was in the wrong spot and they ran left, and because he was misaligned, he ended up with a tackle for a loss, but they happened to run right in the spot where he wasn't, and it ended up being a touchdown. But you take some of those mistakes, you take the big plays, you continue to get up to speed and learn from those issues, and you hope that as time goes along, the mistakes become fewer and fewer, and the big plays become more and more, and he can become that linebacker that Green Bay has so desperately wanted for a very long time. There has not been... Yeah, I get Devondre had the first team All-Pro in the 1 year that he's been there, but there has not been a... I mean, Nitschke's like the last one, right? I get there's been some really good ones, right? Desmond Bishop had some really good years. Nick Barnett had some really, really good years and had a really nice career in Green Bay. But like that consistent, like Pro Bowl caliber linebacker play, I think it's been like Nitschke, right? It has been, at least in my lifetime, there hasn't really been one. Like I said, there's been some good ones, and Devondre had the one really good year, but there hasn't been a sustained linebacker who's had a, 8-9 year career of just unbelievable play. And I'm not putting that pressure on Edgerrin Cooper, by the way. I'm not saying he needs to be that or can be that or should be that, but man, it would be nice if Green Bay could develop a player that would be that big time stud linebacker playing in the middle of the field that could make such an impact. And just in a very limited amount of time, watching him in college, watching him in training camp, and then watching him in this game, there's a lot of signs there that he can be really good. Now it's up to Green Bay and this coaching staff to get him up to speed, but you got to be better by playing. And that is the absolute truth for Edgerrin Cooper. So true, he needs more playing time. Number four, Jordan Morgan should be the starter. That is fact. I don't know that it needs to be right now. Am I okay right now still with it being a little bit of a split in a rotation? And if Sean Ryan is the starter right now, am I going to be mad about it? No, not at all. But do I think that Jordan Morgan is just the better athlete, the better player, the player with more upside, the player that I would trust more in a one-play situation right now? Yeah, it would be. So let's get him out there, and kind of like Edgerrin Cooper, like we just talked about, let's get him learning the game. And the more he plays, probably the better he's going to get. And that's not a necessarily like, oh, Sean Ryan sucks, let's get him out of there. I thought Mike Wall had a great critique of Sean Ryan earlier in the week and why maybe it's time to move to Jordan Morgan. We just haven't seen that progress. Can Sean Ryan still be a really good, sixth offensive lineman and step up if there's an injury at center, left guard, right guard? Absolutely. He absolutely can. But there's no question to me that Jordan Morgan, you're just biding time. That's going to be his spot probably sooner rather than later. So that's one where I am more like, let's just rip the Band-Aid. Let's get him out there and let's get him more accustomed to that right guard spot. And the more snaps that he plays, just the better he's going to get. At least that's the thinking, right? So I am on a fact on that one. It probably doesn't happen this week. It probably doesn't happen next week. And I'm kind of looking of, last week it was, maybe 20 some snaps for Morgan. Does that change to maybe, in low 30s this week? Is it maybe 35 for Ryan and 30 for Morgan? And then maybe next week it's a little bit more for Morgan. And then eventually he's the starter, but maybe Ryan comes in for 20 snaps or something. Like, there are different ways that you can make that work and maybe make that transition over time. But I would love to see Jordan Morgan be the starter and the guy at right guard sooner rather than later. Number five, comment from Adam Stenovich the other day. Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave's snaps need to be closer to 50-50. That is fiction. You guys know my affinity for Tucker Kraft. I am not saying here, there's always going to be a little bit of an explanation here. I'm not saying that this needs to be 60 some for Kraft and 17 for Musgrave like it was last week. But there is no mistake to me. Tucker Kraft is the number one tight end. So use him as the number one tight end. Are there roles in plays specifically that Musgrave will work better in? Absolutely. Get him in on those plays. Should there be more two tight end sets than what we saw last week against Philadelphia? Absolutely. So Musgrave should be more. I want to see him in the, high 20s, low 30s in snaps. But I want to see Tucker Kraft probably in the 50s. I want to see Tucker Kraft out there on almost every single play. He's their best tight end. He's their best all-around tight end. He can do so much in the run game as a blocker, in the pass game as a run-after-catch guy, and he's getting even better as a route runner. He's tight end one, and yes, well, that the discrepancy between the two needs to be smaller. I still want to see Tucker Kraft as number one, and it should not be like, well, we've got 80 snaps for tight end. Let's give Tucker 40 and Musgrave 40. Nah, that should be 50-30 in my opinion. So that is fiction. Tucker Kraft needs to be tight end number one. Number six, Josh Myers should be benched. Banish him to the bench. This is fiction. If for anyone that's followed me for any period of time, not a Josh Myers believer. I did like him coming out. I didn't mind the second round pick on him. But his career in Green Bay, I thought as a rookie, actually pretty solid. Year two, year three, now year four, underwhelming. Not consistent enough. Don't like the overall product of play on the whole. Are there some really good things out there on tape? Yep. Are there some really bad things out there on tape? Yep. Go look at the 2-point conversion from last week. It's not consistent enough. But I don't think that there is a better option right now, specifically with Malik Willis at starting quarterback, where Josh Myers is the guy that is accustomed to taking all of those checks at the line of scrimmage, making all the calls, communicating with his teammates. That is a very important aspect of this game and probably for the rest of the season. So right now, Josh Myers is the starter, and I think he should be the starter. I said this the other day. If he's your fifth best offensive lineman, you're okay. That's not the end of the world. This is not Royce Newman territory. There is a difference there. He is still, to me, a borderline starting offensive lineman in the NFL and probably would start for a vast majority of teams. I truly believe that. Do I wish there was better competition there? Do I wish there was a better player there? Unequivocally. But I'm not willing to give up completely on Josh Myers. I can understand why they want him in there. Could I make an argument for a lineup, and I tweeted this the other day, of Rashid Walker at left tackle, Sean Ryan at left guard, Jenkins at center, Morgan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle, the way that they ended the game against Philly when Myers went out? I certainly could make an argument for that. But for right now, I'm understanding of what Myers gives you at the line of scrimmage. I think Jordan has a very good rapport with him, and I'm more willing to stick with that for now. This is probably Josh's last season in Green Bay. I would expect that they will experiment. If I were to guess, I would expect that Jacob Monk and maybe Sean Ryan are battling for that center guard next year. And it could easily be, and we also know that it could be a Zach Tom, it could be an Elgton Jenkins. They have options there, but they have four guys who can play center and probably, you know, potentially start at center. I don't think they bring Myers back. And I think you'll see a line next year that will be some form of still Rashid Walker, still Elgton Jenkins, still Jordan Morgan, still Zach Tom, and then probably between Sean Ryan and Jacob Monk for that other spot. And I'm sure they'll bring some new bodies in as well. I don't believe Josh Myers will be back, but for now, I'm okay and on board with him being the starter and don't think he needs to be benched at the moment. I do request the ability to change my mind as the remainder of the year goes along. Number seven, Quay Walker is a bust. Whew. I don't know how I want to answer this one. And yes, I did prep ahead of time, I promise you. But I go back and forth on this one. I don't think he is a bust yet. He is trending a little bit more in bust territory. When you are a off-ball linebacker that's gets picked in the first round, there's a level of expectation that you're going to be able to come in and play at a solid level, at least a solid level, right? I haven't seen that from Quay. Do I think he got a little bit better in year two? Yes. Do I think there was some signs in year three, you know, meaning this last game against Philly? Sometimes. This is sort of the Josh Myers conundrum on defense. Do I think that, you know, Quay Walker can be your 11th defender and or 10th, 11th defender on a good defense? I do. Are you always wanting for more? Yes. Is it consistent enough? Not even close. I've not liked what I've seen on the field from Quay for 2+ years now. I'm not a believer that he has lived up to the draft, you know, expectations of him being a first round pick as of yet. And I think it needs to be better. They will have the ability to pick up a fifth year option in the offseason. If they had to make that decision today, I think they would decline that fifth year option. Also somewhat of a believer that if they had a lot of belief in Quay going into 2024, not sure they spend second and third round picks on Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper. Now, they did need some additional players there one way or the other, so it's not like completely shocking, but if he's just one of your guys that's a stud at that spot, I'm not sure you spend that high of draft capital on it. I don't think he gets his fifth year option picked up. I think this next year and a half will define if Green Bay wants to keep him as a linebacker in Green Bay. And if he continues to play like he has so far, I think he'll have to really battle for his starting spot next year. I don't think that'll be guaranteed, but there is a lot of time left. I'm not willing to call him a bust yet. And I don't really even like that terminology anyway, but I'm not willing to call him a bust yet, but I do think he is trending in that direction and it needs to get better if he wants to avoid that label moving forward. Number eight, Javon Bullard should be starting and or playing more in the slot. That to me is fiction. I've been on this since day one. Go and watch his tape. And I've been like, there have been some very smart people, some very good draft analysts, that have said Javon Bullard should be a slot player in the NFL. I could easily end up still being wrong on this. I believe Javon Bullard is a safety. I believe his true position is a safety. Do I think he can give you 5 to 10 snaps in the slot to give you something different from time to time? 100%. No question about it. But do I think that that should be his primary position? No chance. Do I think his coverage is good enough to be a primary slot player? No chance. Do I think he can be a really, really, really good safety in this league? Really good chance. So I would have him focus on that. I would use it maybe as a changeup every now and again. Don't mind that whatsoever. But I would prefer Keyshawn Nixon in the slot to Javon Bullard. I would love to get Evan Williams on the field. More on that in just a moment. Spoiler alert. But overall, I am very happy with Javon Bullard playing safety. Keyshawn Nixon got a lot of praise from Jeff Hafley this past week. I was a little bit lower on the grade, but there were some definite positive things that he did. And I'm totally fine with Keyshawn staying in the slot for the moment. So to me, Keyshawn slot, Bullard safety, and I would not change anything there for the time being. Now, if Nixon struggles through the remainder of the year, you might have to kind of work through some things. If, you know, Bullard maybe isn't working at safety and you may want to try him at something different, we'll see. But for right now, to me, Bullard safety, Nixon slot, wouldn't change too much there. Number nine, Sean Clifford knows more of the playbook and should be the starter instead of Malik Willis. That is fiction. Malik Willis is just the better quarterback. Sean Clifford showed and had every opportunity this offseason to be the backup and to be the starter in this position. And he, quite frankly, vomited up the entire backup spot this offseason. Going back to mini camp where he had a 3-interception day to Zane Anderson. In fact, I think he had 4 picks that day, and I think 3 of them were to Zane, but I could be misremembering that. And then pick after pick after pick, got the opportunity with the ones to start training camp, and it was brutal, and then never bounced back. Didn't look good in preseason, continued to make mistakes. He had a lot of opportunity, and he didn't make the most of it. Now, Malik has not really made the most of his opportunities in Tennessee, which is why they traded him away for next to nothing, a 7th-round pick, but he did have a better preseason. He's a better athlete. He has a better arm. There's more upside. There's no real upside to playing Sean Clifford as a starter in this game. You probably know how that story ends. And, you know, the thing about Sean is what you're betting on with him being your backup is that he can be that game manager quarterback. He's never going to be a big-time playmaker. There's no high-end reward with Sean Clifford. What you need to be if you're Sean Clifford is the guy that is going to consistently take care of the ball, get rid of the ball on time within the rhythm of the offense and just make some easy completions and not be the reason that they lose the game, right? But with all the turnovers he had in camp and in preseason and all of it, just wasn't good enough. And to me, Malik Willis is the rightful starter right now, assuming, again, Jordan can't go and there's no reason to put Sean Clifford in that position. You have him to pull up if Malik massively struggles and you want to try something different in the second half, fourth quarter, whatever, you have that option. But if it's me, I'm starting Malik Willis in this game. Number 10, I don't know that we need to go into this one too much, but fact or fiction, Evan Williams needs to play. That is fact. Maybe it's 15 snaps. Maybe it's, you know, only in some certain situations, some, you know, certain packages, whatever. You just got to get that guy on the field, especially in some obvious passing situations. He is too big of a playmaker. We saw it all throughout camp that you want him on the field to be able to make some of those plays. I don't know a perfect way. I talked to Paul Breddle about that. Maybe it's just you cut back a little bit from Bullard. Again, maybe 15 snaps and give those to Williams just to put a little less on Bullard's plate and give Williams that opportunity. But you got to find a way to get him on the field in some capacity. And we heard all last year, again, that these rookies need to play to get better. Evan Williams needs to get on the field, A, because I think he's good enough. He's a playmaker, and he's only going to get better the more he plays on the field. So yes, fact, Evan Williams does need to play more. Number 11, Eric Stokes is back. Man, I am leaning towards fact on this one. I've never been a huge Eric Stokes guy. Thought they overdrafted him a little bit in round one. Thought he had a really nice rookie season. No two ways about it. Wasn't great, but for a rookie and the situation he was put in, man, did he handle that well. Really struggled in year two. And then we know the injury history from there. But I do think that he had a really nice first game against Philly. And he looked the part to me. He looked the part in all of training camp. And now he looked the part in week one. Do I think he's going to be a top tier number two corner or anything like that? I'm not quite there yet, but do I think he looks like a starting caliber corner in the NFL? Yes. And is that worth a lot right now for the Packers? It is. So I'm leaning towards fact on that one. I'm not saying he's, oh my goodness, look how great of a starter he is or anything like that. But does it look like he's legitimately bounced back, looks to have his speed back, looks to be playing with confidence, looks the role of a starting corner? All of those to me are check, yes, check, 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 check. And that is all I could have possibly asked for going into this year for Eric Stokes. So we will see how he handles the rest of the year. But one week in, I feel a lot more confident about Eric Stokes being that starter opposite Jaire Alexander. And then last but not least, number 12, fact or fiction, Lucas Van Ness needs to play more. I'm going to say, this is another one that I could go either way. I'm going to say fiction. And what I just mean here is he needs to earn his snaps. I actually thought he had a nice game against Philly. I know it was a very small amount of snaps, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. And I would like him to earn those snaps. But you got Rashawn, you got Preston, you've got Enagbare. And I'm not upset that he's the number four guy right now. I can understand why that is the case, but I want to see him earn it to make it so that they cannot take him off the field, that they have to play him 20, 30 snaps a game. That's what I want to see from LVN. So I don't think the Packers are doing anything wrong right now. I want to see LVN say, no, you're going to play me. And I thought actually game one was actually a pretty good first step at that. In fact, I thought he played better than any other edge rusher in that game, given the, especially given the minimal amount of snaps that he got. So that was a good first game for him. Not great. You know, it was a slight positive grade for me, slight positive grade for PFF, but listen, the edge rushers in that game did nothing against Mailata and Lane Johnson, and LVN actually had a couple good plays. So good first step, but I want to see him earn those snaps. I don't want to see it just given to him. I want to see him earn it, and I think he can, and I think he will over time, but let's keep him getting better, and I can understand right now with everyone healthy why he is around the snap count that he is at. So just to recap, Jaire Alexander, fiction. He is not done being a number one corner or all pro caliber player. I'm not really willing to say that's a fact yet. Jaire Alexander needs to step up and be the player that the Packers expect. That is fact. Edgen Cooper needs more playing time. Fact. Jordan Morgan should be the starter. Fact. Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave snaps need to be closer to 50-50. Fiction. Josh Myers should be benched. Fiction. Quay Walker is a bust. Fiction, but it's not trending great. Javon Bullard should be starting in the slot. Fiction, Sean Clifford knows more of the playbook and should be the starter. Fiction, Evan Williams needs to play more. Fact, Eric Stokes is back. Fact, Lucas Van Ness needs to play more. Fiction, but hopefully he can go out and earn it. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, and Jay Foreman. I'll see you guys right here tomorrow for a pregame show. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.